Amen.
Friends, it's great to be with you this morning, and it's been a real privilege to journey with you over these days. We're in the middle of a crucial season, as we've heard often. It's not the AFL season, although that's important, except that the Hawks haven't really done that well this year. It's not the spring season, although we are in the middle of that and we've been looking forward to that. But I'm talking about the COVID-19 season. And this is a season with heaps of challenges, and with every challenge, there is an opportunity. It's a season and a time when crucial questions are being asked, and there are inquiries unfolding, and the impact of different inquiries have seen a minister resign in the last few days. It's a time of great opportunity for followers of Jesus and for churches, and great to hear of some of the initiatives that Mitcham are taking. Crucial questions need thoughtful responses. And one of the most crucial questions ever asked was by Jesus to his disciples when he said, "Who do you say that I am?" Ever since he'd arrived on earth, opinions about Jesus had been divided, and they have been ever since. At times, his family thought he was insane. He seemed to be an embarrassment to them. The religious leaders saw him as a threat and thought he was possessed by a demon. Evil spirits kept shouting out that he was the Son of God and wanted him to leave them alone. In contrast, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people flocked to see him, hear him, and seek help from him. They couldn't get enough of him. Today, whether we follow Jesus all our lives or whether we know very little about him, our answer to the question, "Who do you say that I am?" will have a huge impact on both our present and our future, and also help us deal with our past. This season has seen more Australians exploring this question as well. Research to hand this past month identifies that in this time, more Aussies are searching about where to turn to respond helpfully to life at the moment. The question could be phrased, is God, is Jesus a bystander or a game changer? A bystander when life throws up challenges, or could he be a game changer? What do you reckon? In normal day-to-day life, whatever that is now, there are some who get involved in times of crisis and challenge, but there are many who don't. We all like to think that we would nobly halt harm or boldly articulate what is right, but research shows that most people tend to struggle with the decision to get involved. People get caught up in an internal debate over whether helping out is their responsibility. Others worry about misjudging an unclear situation and consequently embarrassing themselves. Another major obstacle to intervention is a phenomenon called diffusion of responsibility. You see, if several people are witnessing the questionable situation, all individuals present are much less likely to step up and help out because each believes that someone else from the group will. And in still other cases, the person witnessing the situation believes that the victim is in some way responsible for the situation and is now receiving what should have been expected. See, the question that Jesus posed to his disciples was, "Who do you say that I am?" Today, let's take a look at that question and immerse ourselves for a few moments in three stories that could help us answer that question. You can read the stories in Matthew 8 and 9, or Mark 5, or Luke 8. I'm going to share the stories in the first person. Story number one. Life had been hell for me. Somehow my life had been overtaken by forces that pressured me to do incredibly weird and socially unacceptable things, like going around naked. There was the smell of death about my life. In fact, I lived in a graveyard. People didn't understand me. They wanted nothing to do with me and longed for me to be out of the picture. On occasions, to try and deal with me, they treated me like a captured animal and bound me with chains, hand and foot. But the forces in me gave me superhuman strength, and I would break the shackles. To get relief, I would try and cut myself with stones. People were scared of me and would avoid me at all costs. They thought I was mad and dangerous, and I probably was. One afternoon, a guy arrived by boat from the other side of the lake, and the forces inside me were on high alert. I could sense there was a showdown brewing. It was like I was thrust towards this guy, whom I now know was Jesus. In fact, that's what came out of my mouth as I ran towards him. The voices from inside prompted me to yell, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." You see, already Jesus had commanded the evil spirit within me to come out. How much of my torment was real and how much was imaginary didn't matter. What mattered is that I needed deliverance. Jesus didn't avoid me or turn away or ignore me. Rather, he waded right in and his authority took over. The forces inside me had to do what he said. And although I don't understand it, somehow he set me free and those demons left me and caused 2,000 pigs to stampede down into the lake and drown. But I was free, free at last. My disordered mind and tormented body were at peace. The whole episode caused an uproar among the pig herders. Word spread and soon people arrived and couldn't believe that I was relaxed rather than agitated, sitting rather than running around, clothed rather than naked, interacting well with people and at peace. They didn't understand and they felt anxious and afraid. Their routine and comfort had been disturbed, so they pleaded with Jesus to get out of the area. I wanted to go with him, but he said, "No." He told me instead to go home and share the story of what Jesus had done in my life. I would have loved to have gone with him, but I obeyed. And what followed was quite remarkable. I got to share the story of how Jesus changed the game for me in a big way. I got to share it with people in 10 towns, 10 very specially connected towns whose population was predominantly Greek, and with heaps of Greek gods to be worshipped. I became a living, walking, breathing, unmistakable, unanswerable demonstration of what Jesus can do in a person's life. I wasn't a basket case. I became the first witness to a Gentile world of what Jesus can do. I'm so thankful. Jesus didn't give up or walk away or watch from a distance or warn people not to come near me. He changed my game. Story number two. And a third story will be inserted in the middle of this one. My name is Jairus, and I've been a leader of the Jewish church for years, the administrative head, the president of the board of elders who ensured the good management of things in the synagogue. My girl, she's 12, and just on the threshold of womanhood, but still my little girl. She was really sick, dying. I was desperate. Jesus and I hadn't really been on the same page. In fact, I didn't want much to do with him. He was a heretic, I thought. And along with others from the synagogue, I saw him as disruptive and a rule breaker. Yet there was something really authentic about him. The way he cared, the way he spoke, the way he taught, the way he lived. You couldn't help but be curious. When my little girl was so sick, I realized that desperate people do desperate things. And despite what others might think, despite my prejudices, my pride, my dignity, I went to find Jesus. There was a huge crowd around him, but I pushed through the crowd. People were surprised to see me there, but I didn't care. I needed help and I threw myself at his feet and begged for him to come and help my little girl. He agreed, and we headed off together. Others followed. He didn't seem to be in a hurry, but walking with him, I felt strangely encouraged and hopeful. Then all of a sudden, he stopped and looked around. He asked the crowd, "Who touched my clothes?" I thought to myself, "Are you kidding? There's crowds of people." In fact, Jesus' followers said out loud what I was thinking. Jesus waited, and I waited. He looked around to see who would own up. I couldn't believe what happened next because I saw a woman coming forward who'd been excluded from temple worship because of her physical condition. I felt for her, but I didn't know what to do to help. Poor lady, she'd been hemorrhaging for 12 years. People knew that she'd tried a range of remedies and spent her savings on doctors, but no one could help. She kept getting worse. But I'll let the lady tell her story. Story number 3. And then I'll finish mine. Story number 3. The bleeding wouldn't stop. It was so embarrassing. I couldn't go out with wondering whether I would flood. I was always so tired and drained of energy. People got to know and would avoid me. I knew that sometimes I smelt. I wanted help and I tried to get it, but nothing worked long term. I believed in God and wondered why this was happening to me. My condition meant that I was not able to go to the temple and I didn't even want to go to the synagogue. I knew the Jewish laws saw me as unclean. I was an outcast and felt like a basket case. I'd heard about Jesus and desperate people do desperate things. I hoped no one would notice as I pressed through the crowd. I wanted to just touch Jesus' clothes as my heart cried out for help. When I touched his clothes, something happened. And immediately I knew the bleeding had stopped. But then I froze when Jesus stopped and turned around and asked who'd touched him. When, with trepidation, I finally acknowledged that it was me, he spoke so beautifully and caringly. It was encouraging to hear him affirm the tiny seed of faith that I had, and that had been helpful in me having the game changed for me forever. It's Jairus back again to finish my story. I was gobsmacked with what had just happened for this lady, only to be greeted with the news that in the meantime, my daughter, my little girl, had died. I was urged not to trouble Jesus anymore. But he overheard what was being said and interjected with, "Don't be afraid, Jairus. Trust me." Could I? I wanted to, and especially after what I just witnessed. At this point, he stopped the crowd following and proceeded with me and 3 of his followers. And when we got home, there was so much crying and wailing accompanied by flute playing. Being able to give full vent to sadness and grief is healthy, and those who had gathered had already started. To hear this and to know that my girl had died was heartbreaking, but somehow I kept hoping and trusting as Jesus declared that my daughter was sleeping and not gone forever. My relatives and the mourners laughed at him. But he was not deterred. With tenderness and with an authority that was unmistakable, he asked everyone to leave except me and my wife and the disciples. We went into the room where my girl was lying. Jesus reached down, took her by the hand and said, "Little girl, come, get up." He helped her to her feet and she began to walk. People were stunned. I was stunned and overjoyed. We hugged our little girl, hugged a long time until Jesus finally broke in and said, "Find her something to eat. She'll be hungry." You know, Jesus could have wiped me. He could have stood back and said, "Bad luck, mate. You kicked me out of the synagogue. Why should I help you?" But instead, he changed my game. He drew faith out of me. He helped me see things from his perspective and draw out on his resources and live into his purposes. As I reflected later, I couldn't help but wonder at the despair and the distress of the mourners and the serenity and hopefulness of Jesus. I also didn't initially understand why Jesus would not want us to broadcast what had happened. But I think it was because people would misunderstand the nature of his kingdom. Is Jesus simply a good guy or God? Rule breaker or rule maker? A storyteller or a life shaper or both? Is Jesus a bystander or a game changer? Friends, he's no bystander. He chose to immerse himself in the lives of human beings. He came to live among people. He came to apply the resources of heaven to the needs of people. His welcome to people, his acceptance and love for people disarmed them, roused their curiosity, sparked their hope, and drew out their faith. Every page of every gospel has stories of Jesus being a game changer in the lives of people and families. You know, in sport, a game-changing moment is when something extra special happens, when something out of the box is done and it sends the game in a different direction. That's what Jesus has done and can do in the lives of people, whatever their situation. And when Jesus changes the game, he is committed to it being more than for a moment or an hour or a day. He wants it to be a lifelong, fruitful, growing experience in relationship with him. You know, these stories leave me with a few questions. For example, we only have details of Jesus raising three people who had only recently died. Why not more? Or what about people who weren't cured then or aren't cured now? Friends, Jesus didn't come as a one-man liberation movement or a Lone Ranger medical centre. These amazing things were signs of a revolution. Rumours of another kingdom, of a real and lifelong healing that Jesus would accomplish through his death and resurrection, of forgiveness and hope that can be experienced by every person. Behind the intense dramas of each story lies a bigger picture of Jesus on his way to confront evil at its very heart. He will confront death itself and defeat it in a way as surprising as these stories. What are some ingredients for game changing in a person's life or a family's life or a church's life? They include an encounter with Jesus, a vulnerability to acknowledge need and seek help, some faith in Jesus, even a tiny bit, and sometimes even by some friends on your behalf. And an ingredient includes ongoing walking with Jesus, day by day, listening to him, learning from him, watching how he does life and working with him. Now, whenever Jesus is at home, whenever he's present, the power of God is there to bring life change to people and to populate earth with heaven's resources. Whatever your situation or story today, or whatever the story of those whom you will encounter today or every day, Jesus came to earth to be God with us, to give us life, to extend forgiveness, and to offer hope. Is there anything stopping you on drawing on him and his resources to see ongoing game changing for you and then through you in the lives of others. You know, there are people in our streets, our neighbourhoods, who long to encounter someone who can encourage, someone who can come alongside with hope, someone who can go together with them to Jesus to seek help. Followers of Jesus, indwelt by the Spirit of God, are empowered to represent Jesus in our neighbourhoods, our shopping centres, our sporting clubs, our school or university campuses, our work sites or our offices. This is a great time for the church to be the church rather than focusing primarily on going to church. I invite you to join with me as together we pray. Lord Jesus, please help me today. Please help us today. Like you helped others in the first century and every century, and in every crisis season since, to seek you, to trust you with our lives and our needs. And please help us to be channels of that grace and love and hope for others. Thank you that you're no bystander. Thank you that you're a game changer. Amen.
Thank you, Bill. Very much appreciated.